listen to me. I'm only gonna say this once. We are going on the trip now. It's going to be rough. You have to do every single thing I say, or we will not make it. Understand? Under no circumstance are you allowed to take off your blindfold. If I find that you have, I will hurt you. Do you understand? And no talking. You must listen as closely as you can. Do you understand? But you never, ever take off your blindfold. If you look, you will die. Do you understand?
Welcome to Now Playing's bonus review of Bird Box.
It's about the end of the world. No, but it's not one of those kids' stories, you know, where they all got crossbows and they're killing each other to survive or running around some giant maze.
It's really about people's inability to connect.
Hosted by Jacob.
I hope you know what you're doing.
Arnie.
He's a bit crazy, but he's always nice to me.
And Stuart.
All of us, collectively, are making the end of the world great again! Yeah!
This episode will contain detailed plot spoilers and strong language.
We are so fucking fucked.
We hope you enjoy the show.
Here we go. Here we go.
Today we're discussing Bird Box, starring Sandra Bullock, Trevante Rhodes, John Malkovich, Danielle McDonald, and Sarah Paulson, directed by Suzanne Beer. This is the flighty co-host of Now Playing, Arnie.
And Stuart.
This is Jacob, and guys, there's only two types of people in this world, the assholes and the dead, and I ain't dead.
I was thinking about us when they were comparing the world's population to dead and assholes. Yes. Which came first? It's always the debate. People said that Bird Box was The Imitator because it popped up on Netflix 8 months after everybody went and saw A Quiet Place in theaters. But I'm just here to tell you, this is based on a book that came out 2 years before the script ever sold for A Quiet Place.
And I think the comparisons came because it was about a lack of a sense. It's both like where you have to be quiet. It's not like that. But yeah, one, you can't use your eyes. One, you can't use your voice box, I guess.
Yeah, I think the connections are tenuous. Plus, 8 months is not enough time to be like, we want to rip that off. Let's write a script, make a movie, and get it out. With Sandra Bullock, no less. I mean,
Netflix did do it. I want to say, if you want to see the ripoff version of A Quiet Place on Netflix, I did. And boy, I wish I hadn't.
Oh no, what's it called?
2019, they put out The Silence, in which Stanley Tucci and his deaf daughter are trying to run to a cabin because a bunch of prehistoric birds have escaped out of a cave and they hunt everything by sound.
Wow.
Shameless.
Oh, it's shameless. Very shameless. And just more to the point, it's just bad. It's just badly done, badly filmed. Like the special effects or Sci-Fi Network. It's just like a really cheesy disaster movie kind of vibe. And so maybe that's what you're looking for. Like if you want to poke fun at something, The Silence is where you should throw your tomatoes. It's awful. But Bird Box, this was not just a hit. At its time of its release, Christmas 2018, I don't know where it stands now, it was the biggest film that ever streamed original on Netflix. This is their biggest hit. This was had more audience by a lot than Quiet Place.
Really?
45 million in the first week.
Well, that's probably because it was free with a subscription, because I know I didn't watch it, but my two girls did when it came out. Like, look, it's Sandra Bullock. That's not a draw for me. Forget about it being a ripoff or not of A Quiet Place. It was Sandra Bullock that kept me away. But it drew my daughters in. They were super excited for it, and they really liked it.
I love Sandra Bullock, but what drew me in was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
What?
I don't know if you guys remember, but when this movie came out, it was around the time of, I think, Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the rebooted sequel from Platinum Dunes.
Now, these are not things I remember. Nope.
And there was nothing but memes with Sandra Bullock and the Mutant Ninja Turtles because of the way she wore that blue blindfold.
Oh, like their mask, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got me to the point of like, what is this movie that is in all these memes? I'm feeling left out of the joke, so I decided I'd go watch this movie. But I can't believe Sandra Bullock's a turnoff. I had such a crush on her in the 90s. These days, I no longer crush on her, but I like her in movies.
Her esteem had moved up in the world. I would agree with you that in general, she is, you know, sort of the poor man's Julia Roberts. But after Gravity, she did start to gravitate towards more Oscar bait kind of, you know.
Yeah, The Blind Side.
Yeah, she did stuff that I would consider, you know, more actorly. And, you know, this is horror. So it didn't take me too much to find this and watch it. But I didn't watch it in its initial weeks. When it exploded as a phenomenon, and I guess it was like its own Tide Pod challenge. People were running around filming themselves.
That's dangerous, like into the street?
Running into trees. Yeah, I think that it definitely was a short-lived phenomenon.
Yeah, because you die.
This was a viral marketing sensation for Netflix and a big hit. And yeah, I saw it probably 3 or 4 months afterwards and felt like it had enough of a tie to A Quiet Place. People wouldn't resent that I was tacking it on to those two films for a platinum level.
No, we should have done Silence, it sounds like.
Boof. You're on your own. I'm out.
I take Stanley Tucci over Sandra Bullock any day.
Normally, yes, but not there.
It's that bad. Okay.
I mean, have you seen the Transformers films?
Yeah, he's the best part of those films.
Sandra Bullock has nothing in her oeuvre, including Love Potion number 9, as bad as those Transformers films.
Yeah, but just Gravity's good. I'll just leave it at that. She's not a draw. She's great in Demolition Man.
And I'll put it this way. Like, she isn't what you visualize when you read the novel. I did pick up the book, and I just got to say that if you're looking at a single mother that's, you know, like, artist that's trying to, like, find her way in the world, Sandra Bullock is over 50 in this film.
Yeah, she's 53. Like, it was so distracting. I don't want to get in a thing about looks and that. It's the fact that they're telling me this woman's pregnant at 53. I think she's supposed to be playing 30-something, but they plastered so much makeup on her, smoothed her face or something. It is distracting the entire time. I'm like, this person's 20 years older than what she's playing.
Mallory in the novel is a 20-something woman in Detroit. And so there are a lot of similarities, but I do feel like this movie, in both changing to a Sandra Bullock vehicle and also wanting to be a horror movie, I feel like lots of choices are made to have this film be more exciting than what's on the page. The story on the page is really more like a metaphor. Like, it all feels like this, and the movie does too, but this book particularly feels like the story of someone who goes through an experience of motherhood, and everything that's happening is sort of a reflection of what she's going through.
I feel like you just described the movie and its unsettledy.
Maybe, but there aren't nearly the characters or adventure moments that you're going to have in this movie, in that book. It's largely told in the back and forth of her on the river with her children and in this house, but less people, less, I would say, 70% the same, but with the feeling that you're reading Lovecraft. In the end, you know, Lovecraft wrote a lot about unimaginable horrors that could drive you mad if you ever looked at it. Imagine Lovecraft and, you know, like a baby book come together. That's sort of how it played. I don't mean that to sound dismissive. The book was okay, but I do think that a lot was changed in tone in trying to bring this to the screen. And originally, it was going to be made by Andy Muschietti, who was coming off Mama, if you remember that horror movie about motherhood.
I remember it, haven't seen it.
Yeah, don't. But instead, he made the It movies, probably a wise choice for him. And yeah, this ended up in the control of Susan Bier, who is not who you would call for a horror movie.
Yeah, I wouldn't call her anything because I don't know who she is.
Yeah. She mostly has made Scandinavian dramas. After The Wedding, she's done a couple TV miniseries here in the States with Nicole Kidman, but largely drama-based. Like, this is a director who, up to this point, I don't think has ever messed in the horror or sci-fi genre. Real strange choice. I have to believe that it was Sandra Bullock, that once they got her involved in this movie, she said, I want a female director. I want someone that has dramatic heft. I don't want to be directed by the guy who, you know, has the bloody clown movie. Relatively small budget, I think $20 million, and probably 18 of that went to Sandra, but mostly shot in interiors in L.A. and California. But again, really exploded and really became a phenomenon.
I had no idea beyond the memes I saw I hadn't heard a lot of people talk about this movie. I had no idea it was that huge.
$45 million in his first week. I think $80 million and counting the last time I looked up. And Netflix doesn't always reveal its statistics. Maybe things have surpassed that now. But
Squid Game, whatever that hot Squid Game show is, that's like their number one thing ever now.
Right. There's probably always a new number one coming up to best the other thing. But this, I think if Netflix were to cite the biggest things that they've ever aired, like a list of 20, Bird Box would make it. This one is an important film in their domination of the world. And yeah, maybe so many people saw it because it's Christmas time, you're with your folks, and you can just hit play because you already have that subscription. Don't have to go out to theaters and shell out those prices. But yeah, it's supposed that if this had to compete as a normal movie, it would have only made $100 million. Quiet Place made $180 million. But if everyone that saw it paid $10, this would be one of the biggest films of all time. So Arnie, why don't you give them the plot and we'll remind people what's in the Bird Box.
Well, the film jumps between the early days of an invasion and 5 years into the invasion. But in both times, we follow our main character, Mallory Hayes, played by Sandra Bullock. When the crisis started, Mallory was far into her pregnancy, but during a routine doctor's visit, an invasion begins. People start to see and hear frightening things which drive them crazy, usually to the point of suicide. You see, whatever these things are, even a single glance, you die. Because Mallory is pregnant, a woman invites her into their house, but this act of kindness causes the woman to see the whatevers and kill herself. Mallory makes it into the house where she meets the people she'll spend the next many months with. Alcoholic Douglas, played by John Malkovich, grocery store worker Charlie, played by Lil-Rel Howery, elderly Cheryl, played by Jackie Weaver, cool-headed Tom, played by Trevante Rhodes, young adults Lucy and Felix, played by Rosa Salazar and Machine Gun Kelly, and the home's owner, Greg, played by B.D. Wong. They let in another very pregnant woman, Olympia, played by Danielle McDonald. Greg tries to see if the creatures harm you when seen through electronics, so he ties himself to a chair and watches the security cameras. Yes, he does go insane and kills himself by bashing his head into the fireplace. But the group live in relative harmony, though Charlie dies during a food run to the store where he used to work. Lucy and Felix become lovers and steal the car to go off to places unknown. But strife comes to the remaining members when Olympia lets in another survivor, Gary, played by Tom Hollander. Douglas wants Gary expelled, so they lock Douglas in the garage. But Douglas was right not to trust Gary. Gary has seen the whatevers and been driven mad. Though he hasn't killed himself, he has become homicidal and plans to make everyone in the house also see the creatures. Olympia and Mallory go into labor almost simultaneously, and that's when Gary strikes. He opens the garage door, leaving Douglas unable to open his eyes. After the babies are born, Gary rips down the window coverings. Olympia, Douglas, and Cheryl are killed, but Tom kills Gary while Mallory protects the two newborns. Years pass with the children, called Boy and Girl, Tom and Mallory left in the house. Tom and Mallory become lovers. Tom starts to get worried, though, because on supply runs, more mad people without blindfolds are around the area. They get a radio signal from a man named Rick who says there's a safe community in the forest, but to get there requires navigating a river, including some rapids, in a boat. The foursome don blindfolds and go on the trip, but they barely left the property when Tom is killed by the unmasked crazies. Alone with Boy and Girl, Mallory decides to continue the trip. The journey is hard, and many crazies are encountered along the way, but eventually they make it to their destination, a school for the blind. It's filled with people, both sighted and not, living in harmony. There, Mallory tells Boy and Girl they have names. Boy is Tom, and Girl is Olympia. The kids go to meet new people as credits roll.
And as they start, I feel like it's every family vacation I've ever had in my life. It's going to take a long time. It's going to be rough. You need to stay alert and be quiet or you're going to die. Like,
what kind of road trips did you go on? Did your parents blindfold you too?
Oh, yeah. I'm from the South and we moved to the North and then we'd go on these 12-hour road trips. It always ended with me taking a hot apple pie from McDonald's and smashing it in my brother's face.
Oh,
that's better than eating an apple pie that sat in the car for like 3 days like I did and then puking all over everyone as we drove.
Does your brother have like permanent scars from the scalding hot middle?
Oh, he got me back, trust me. But again, these are road trips. I don't know what these people, these post-apocalyptic problems. Pshaw, give me a break. It's going to be tough. Yeah, and if Sandra Bullock, like, not normally someone as I think of hardened and scary, but she is convincing here as she's putting her kids in blindfolds and telling them we're off to unknown destination.
Oh, 100% agree. Again, I said Sandra Bullock is the reason I didn't want to watch this. Like, right at the beginning, I'm like, whoa, she's bringing it. Like, this is intense. It might be pulpy. It might not, like, get real deep. But, like, she has an intensity to her throughout, like, starting right at the beginning here, which I'm like, oh, okay, she's bringing it. Like, you got my interest.
Yeah. Do you think she feels real, though? I mean, I can only see her being this mean if somebody got guacamole instead of avocado on her toast at catering, because I've never seen her play this militant before, and I'm not sure that I completely buy her as this tough.
Well, it's against type. I agree with you. And this is what I mean about her choosing roles she probably wasn't offered early in her career. She was the girl next door for so long. After Gravity, after Blindside, and an Oscar win, she could make these kinds of films. And yeah, it's a risk. But at the same time, I don't know, like, she is not who you would normally cast. Hollywood tends to want to go for the younger type. It's kind of amazing that she got this gig. It's only really because it's Netflix, I think, that to them she would be an incredible get. But a Hollywood studio would insist on a 30-year-old, a 25-year-old actress.
Okay, she's well into her 50s when this film is made. That's almost a miracle pregnancy.
Right, yeah, exactly. She would need IVF. Like, the fact that she is, when we jump back 5 years before, we are to see her as, like, this San Francisco or Sacramento, like, Northern California artist type who paints these grisly, I don't know, like, premonitions of the future, maybe, but, like, all these huddled masses in the dark.
Yeah, and people just can't connect. You think that might be a theme of the film? Like, her trying to connect? It's super clumsy, but, again, at the same time, it kind of works for this kind of pulpy story. Like, make an obvious theme and just go with it.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. This is the kind of movie that a Sandra Bullock wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. Apparently, this all came out of her actually having real kids and her children saying, Mom, you never make anything we ever want to see. And she's like, well, what do you want to see? Horror movies. And so she's like, okay. This is me doing a close approximation about what my kids actually might want to watch.
I thought you were going to say that her kids said, Mom, you never connect with us. Do you know we have names?
I'm sure her ex-husband says that. But yes, they quickly, this has all been created for the movie. It was set in Detroit and there were other, it's not even really worth going into. She did have a sister. They were living together. And there's a similar setup in the book, but they've largely created this. We're going to the OB-GYN doctor, and it turns into hell in the streets for the movie. I think this is what you want when you're creating a horror movie. And that's what I'm going to call Bird Box.
Yeah, I'm going to call this a zombie movie. It's basically, yes, zombie where they've CGI'd out all the zombies for some reason. Like,
correct. We didn't have the money for the zombies. This is why it's only $20 million. If he had actually created the monster, be another 30 or 40.
But it totally plays like a Day or Night or Afternoon of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you guys are giving this far too much. You know what this plays like is The Happening. How are we not in M. Night when everybody just starts offing themselves?
Because they're not saying the trees are making you do it. That's their saving grace.
You're absolutely right. This is the same scenario. Mass suicide. It's, you know, coming through in the beginning as just news reports from Russia and on the web and gossip and rumors. And, you know, it's very fast here in the movie. In the book, it was something that took months to evolve. But I think this movie's right to call it out. If something like this were to occur, it would only be a matter of hours before it would be everywhere.
Whatever it is, I mean, how would it be everywhere? It took Corona a while to get out.
What do we know of it, of the whatevers? You read the book, Stuart, because this, we're going to see that Mallory will hear things. We never know what's seen by anyone, but is it hallucinations by some chemical? Is it invisible beings? Does the book give any clue?
I would say the book gives less than what the movie does.
How do you do less than nothing?
Yeah.
Well, because this movie will eventually show characters that have seen them and drawn pencil drawings of them. And, you know, you'll have a character writing an apocalyptic doomsday novel that will theorize what it might be. In the novel, I really got the sense that, yeah, again, Lovecraft was the approximation. These are old ones. These are something from another dimension that we might aren't supposed to see. It's not clear whether they can even see us. They're not out to harm us necessarily. You'll see no incident of one of these whatevers chasing anyone or breaking into the house and trying to kill them. Here, they seem to have much more malicious intent, but they're tempters. You put on your blindfold and they'll try to convince you to take it off. None of that's in the book.
Yeah, one character talks about like demons, and it does almost feel like God coming down and making judgment, except we don't know if they're seeing angels, God, and some people could look at it and not be harmed. Are they already mentally ill if they're not harmed by it?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. In this movie.
Okay, I did not get what caused that.
Yeah, because they talk about a mental institution where everyone had their eyes open, and that's a whole other set of problems. So, like, everyone's a little mentally ill. We all suffer depression, so maybe it shouldn't affect anyone.
Right, yes. Again, if you think about, From Beyond, when we cover that Lovecraft thing, remember the whole gizmo thing created the idea that there were, little leeches flying in the air all the time. We just can't see it. I think the idea in the book was that something has happened to make something that has been a part of our world suddenly visible to us, and the shock and the terror of its reality is too traumatic to comprehend. It sends people crazy, out of their mind. And here it's more like, yeah, they're demons or there's something that wish us harm. I definitely feel like they've skewed and hewed the screenplay so that it does fit within a zombie movie formula. And a good grabber here. I mean, I don't feel like The Happening started, well, maybe even the early Happening scenes, they weren't all so stupid. But this is pretty much a grabber when she emerges from her doctor's appointment and we see the woman that they smiled at, the other pregnant woman that was in the glass walkway, bashing her head against the window and, yeah, stuff going down in the street. I feel like this is adrenalizing.
It's exciting-ish, but again, the fact that we can't see why and we just see some craziness. I like some of the car stunt stuff. I like some of the crashes and explosions.
Yeah, just imagine there's zombies around them. That's what I did. They're dodging zombies and flipping cars. It really does feel like they just forgot to do the CGI, whatever the creature was.
Okay, so here's the thing, guys. Susan Byer said they designed it. They had models of it. They talked about doing it. It really wasn't just a budget issue. They were thinking, maybe we show the audience, but the characters don't look at it. And in the end, they decided that it would work more for the anticipation and dread if we were in the same vantage point as the characters. We couldn't look at these things either, or we'd be killed. Would you prefer to have, I don't know, some, let's face it, probably some semi-unsatisfying CGI character flying around?
I understand the dilemma. Whatever they come up with isn't going to be great, probably.
It won't drive you out of your mind with insanity. It will probably have people laughing.
No, but just do one shot, towards the end of the film. You got to give one shot. It doesn't have to be long, just so we know that there's actually something there. I don't know. It feels kind of a ripoff that everyone's seeing this thing, but we never get to see it.
There's shadows. There's leaves that float upwards or something like that.
Yeah, the wind starts blowing and you get these wind trails behind you.
Whispers. I mean, yeah, some of that is M. Night Happening stuff. There was a lot with the wind and running from the wind. They don't quite go that daffy with it. I mean, I think that there's several degrees of crazy beyond Bird Box that Happening lands in. But yes, they are both trying to dramatize a worldwide pandemic of mass hysteria and mass suicide. And I'd never had a problem with the premise of The Happening. I had the problem with the execution.
Well, The Happening's worst part was its star. I'll say that much. But here, it just is getting me that it feels so quick and so...
You want it quick. You don't want to, belabor this. Yes.
No, but quick that... Fine. Everybody's going crazy and we don't know why. I was surprised Sarah Paulson dies here, but I guess they can't afford two female stars. They got Sarah Paulson in for a few days. Is she FOSB, friend of Sandra Bullock?
Yeah, and I mean, it's just kind of a psycho move or a Drew Barrymore move. If you think we have someone that's going to be a part of the story and then you kill them in the first scene, that's a good get. That gets you on your toes. I think that two things have been announced. One, that this is a B-movie, and there's some over-the-top acting, and there's some kind of silliness here that's going on. And two, I also feel like this is a down and dirty, like, horror movie. Something Sandra Bullock doesn't normally do. It's killing people off quickly, violently, and yeah, I'm surprised at the glee that it's having being trashy. I was expecting an elevated horror movie, and this thing is trashy and proud.
Yeah, the fact that you get to die for saving Sandra Bullock in this film, like, that was unexpected. Like, you save the hero, that's usually a good thing. But no, we're going to see John Malkovich, his wife's going to go.
And what genius cast John Malkovich as a Trump-voting redneck living in the suburbs of Sacramento? I don't get. Like, I always feel like he's a tough one to cast. But boy, yeah, what a weird choice here.
Does John Malkovich need a paycheck or need work? I didn't know he was in this. When I watched it the first time, the only thing I knew was Sandra Bullock in a blindfold. And so seeing John Malkovich come in here in this role, giving maybe the worst performance I've ever seen Malkovich give.
It is shockingly bad. Like, I can't believe what he does.
I mean, he's just miscast. I mean, like, right? Like, this is like, he doesn't have any of the, like, redneck, red state kind of vibe that you would get. I mean, like, wine swilling snob is West Coast elite is exactly what he would play. It's so strange. And the fact that he's neighbors with BD Wong, the gay, like, I want to create my, like, glass backyard thing that you hate so much. Like, all of this, you see what they're doing. We're trying to create a microcosm of America huddled up in this house as strange world events beat down on their doorway. It's all metaphor and what have you.
Yeah, it's all Night of the Living Dead, where they're stuck inside of a house and there's conflicts and fights about strategies and all of that.
But somehow the whatevers can't go through doors?
They're not trying to.
What?
Again, they are not the way, and I'm going off book. I feel like movie is a different beast. But the creatures are not trying to get you. It is not their aim. They are not here to kill you, to eat you, to drive you insane.
See, this is the problem. I don't know if the creatures, if they're ghosts, like at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, when the Ark is open, are they coronavirus germs that could easily get through cracks in the door? This is why, again, maybe not show me exactly what they look like, but I need some kind of definition to them, some kind of lore, so I know what the rules are.
I agree, and if you had had something like the Hadron Collider got turned on or something like that, something as simple as that. I think in Night of the Living Dead, it's a satellite fell. So, like, if you just imply that something had happened like that, that would probably be enough to really, you know, give this a little bit extra that it needs. It's okay to be ambiguous, and I like Lovecraft too, but there's a reason why they haven't made too many successful H.P. Lovecraft adaptations, because if your prose says you can't describe it, you can't see it, you can't visualize it, it's not going to make a good movie.
Yeah, it works so much better in prose. Your mind can imagine the unimaginable, whereas on a movie, you want to see it, or you end up with this where it's like everybody doing an acting exercise. Oh, look, it's something scary.
Yeah, and it's not even that you have to have your eyes totally shut. Like, we'll see them looking through cloth. So they could kind of see something. Like, that newspaper they put up on the window is not blacking them out. So, again, I don't quite know what the rules are. How much can they see before they're infected by it?
Yeah, I think, and I'm getting confused as to what was movie and what was book at this point. But they don't have a face, but you are drawn into something in them. And you end up just basically disappearing into them. They're like a void that you can't stop yourself from leaping into, is kind of the way that I take it. And it seems like they punctured into our reality. Again, I think about the way the little, you know, sex leeches flew around and from beyond. The idea that they're always been with us, and maybe they've always seen us, but we've only recently been able to see them. And it's the comprehension that they are among us. Again, that was always the H.P. Lovecraft song. If you actually see the gods and learn of their physical attributes, you will go insane. So who are these people that have descended on the house? We have the owner, BD Wong, Greg. He is the one that is going to elect to see if maybe if we film them, not a bad theory, but like maybe it doesn't have the same impact if media has, you know, like taken it out of the physical interaction.
Yeah, because it's all ones and zeros by that point.
Except for the fact that they earlier watched television as a group. They were all watching TV where people were going insane and nobody did anything.
That's not the same thing, Arnie. Nobody was showing on the news the creature.
How do they know? The creature's invisible.
Well, the creature somehow has to sense that they're being watched, I think.
The creature's not invisible. The creature is real and physically there, always.
What?
Yeah.
It's just a different light spectrum?
No.
Yes. What are you talking about?
The creature's invisible. Otherwise, when Sarah Paulson sees something, we'd see something. Otherwise, when Sandra Bullock has a blindfold on, there'd be crap all around her that we would see. These are invisible creatures.
No, they're not. They're there, but not being shown. That's what I'm saying. They could have elected to put them in the frame and chose not to. But they're there. If you were to tilt the camera, theoretically, you know, in a direction, you would see the thing that is driving Sarah Paulson insane.
So there's maybe thousands, millions of these just running around all over Earth.
There's even a theory in the book that it's one thing that has many shadows and that, you know, they go apocalyptic with it, but that it is something here to judge us and its many shadows are spreading throughout. But nobody has a clear sense as to what its origin is in Bird Box.
So I think we could all agree, bad at setting the rules. And that's a big thing with horror, is you got to know what the rules are.
It's goofy. I don't know if I would use the word bad. It's got a goofy quality to it because everyone is reacting to something we never see. That is kind of a silly, Artie, you called it an acting exercise, and you're right. It does feel like people play acting or pantomiming. They didn't do the blue screen work. Like we're just watching them on the blue screen. Nobody put the monster in the shot. And that is a little bit, you feel sad for the actors.
I'm just saying, if you're an active thinker while you're watching this, it's creating a lot of questions, and that's distracting. Like, I can't totally get into the film because I'm asking all these questions as I watch.
Okay, well, let's work through your questions. Let's work through your questions and see if there are answers. I think the TV goes out pretty quickly. The reason why nobody is watching TV and going mad in this house is the signal goes out almost instantaneously.
Yet there's still electricity. Like, their GPS is going to work.
No, it's not a power outage. It is literally the TV news people turning off the cameras.
Yeah, but usually when you have, like, these mass dying off of people in these kind of films, like the power stations can't run anymore, like it has wide effects. Here it just seems like people have gone crazy and killed themselves, but you still have all your modern conveniences.
Well, maybe Greg has a generator. Again, I can't guess.
Again, that GPS satellite is still working when they get in the car.
Yeah, he's worked a lot on all of his things, so maybe, I don't know. But yeah, he's dead because he tries to see it through the closed circuit TV monitors, and it ends up having the same effect. And maybe you could make the argument it starts out invisible, but it goes back and forth. Clearly, we see those leaves coming up and the wind coming, the whispering.
Yeah, the birds are going to send something.
Yeah.
Hence the name of the film.
Yeah. The thing is, what's really frustrating is these creatures are completely secondary because most of this movie is going to be spent with a bunch of people in a house.
But that's every horror movie. I mean, that's actually Night of the Living Dead. Like,
yeah.
It's not about the zombies. Like, that feels correct. When you want a microcosm of the world at the end, if you want to dramatize the end of the world, that's what you do. You stick a bunch of different types into a room and watch them fight it out. The monster prevents them from getting very far. But they do have ingenious ideas on how to go to the grocery store. I am impressed. In the book, they just said that Sandra Bullock's character, Mallory, got in a car and drove. And she just kept her eyes down and somehow made it to the safe house.
Yeah, can't you just open your eyes for like a second and then close them, then open them again for a second and close them? Like,
the book says yes, Jacob. But this, I like what they did here. I like the idea that you'd paint the windshield black and you just try to go with the GPS. And if you're running over bodies.
No, it is a very cool scene. I don't think I've ever seen this in a zombie film. So I'll give it credit as they're trying to drive around using the GPS and you hear them as they're driving over people's heads and all that. It's an effective scene.
Totally.
Yeah, I liked that scene quite a bit, especially The first time I saw it, my car didn't have any of that tech, like the you're about to hit a curb tech that my car now has. So I appreciate the scene more now that I understand exactly what the car is doing.
Yeah, and they do like the alien thing where it has those proximity sensors, and I guess the whatevers are surrounding the car and setting off every sensor. And again, they found a way to visualize the threat without actually showing the threat, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that's the game that's being played here, is that we have, they're not invisible, but to us, the audience, they might as well be. We have an unseen threat that, like, makes you not want to look, like, not want to use your eyes. And so, yeah, how do you navigate a world like that? It's very similar, I suppose, to Quiet Place and navigating a world where you can't make sound. But which world would you prefer? I feel like I would be more scared in the Bird Box world. It would be more terrifying to know that, like, I could just be glancing out the window. Or hell, it could get inside the house and I could see it and it could be over like that.
Well, I think what Bird Box does that neither of the Quiet Places succeeded at is also making humans a threat. Again, the mentally ill who can see whatever is going on, but they're trying to rip your eyes open. Plus, there's creatures. In Quiet Place, it just seems like there's creatures that will hunt you. But human, well, there's those people down by the docks. They're not so great. But yeah, this feels like a more threatening world.
Yeah, we start to see that when they get to the supermarket and Charlie's the next victim. Like, he recognizes somebody.
Fish fingers.
Coming in through the docks. Yeah, fish fingers.
I don't want to know how he got that nickname, by the way.
No, I mean, I assume that they made him, you know, it's a supermarket, right? So he had to handle all the seafood that came in, right?
Yeah, I'm sure that's how he got the nickname.
Yeah, I know. But hey, you know what? People think they know my politics, but I agree with the Trumper in this film. Like, Malkovich is like, hey, let's just stay here. And like, yeah, that is the right idea, to stay in the supermarket where you have everything you need.
I agree completely. Except for the whole let's screw everybody else over bit.
I mean, I don't know why they couldn't drive back and just bring those people over, too.
I would let John Malkovich live here if that's what he so wants. Yeah. Let him drink himself to death. Clearly, that's what he's going to do. He's found the alcohol aisle and let him have at it. But I think once you realize there's an employee that's seen the creature and is now trying to lure people.
Yeah. Fish fingers is always going to be knocking at your door.
Yeah. He's trying to pull you out onto the dock. He gets Charlie. That ruins it.
So now I'm getting a The Mist feel. Are you guys in the supermarket with being pulled onto the docks?
Well, yeah, but Arnie, you get the feel because all of these things are versions of Night of the Living Dead, because all of them are ripoffs of something that was made 60 years ago.
Yeah, but very specifically, let's come to the docks where the monster is in a supermarket.
Yeah, and I agree. We're spared the bad CGI. The question to ask is this movie better for not showing us anything than if it gave us those bad tentacles coming out of the mist? I vote Bird Box.
Yeah, if they could just tighten up the lore a bit so I could understand the rules, I would be fine with not seeing anything. I just want to understand how it all works better.
Yes, and I don't even know that the original author had it all worked out. To me, when I read that novel, what I really got a sense was the book was dedicated to his mother, and he wanted to tell a parable about how difficult it is to raise children in a world with all of this threat, and that you want to protect them from unseen dangers all the time, and it leads to, you know, the kinds of paranoia that we see Mallory go through. I imagine this author had an overprotective mother, and writing this book was a way of forgiving and saluting her, is really how it came off. And the fact that it was a horror movie about monsters and all of that, not really the vibe. Again, that has all been expanded upon. There are so many more characters here. All of this running to the grocery store and all of this stuff, it wasn't played the same way in the novel. It was really all about the tragedy of not being able to use your eyes. In fact, one thing that was interesting in the book, never gets brought up in this movie, wouldn't you just blind yourself? Rather than try to wear blindfolds and cover your eyes all the time, if you just took some lye and poured it into your eyes.
No, I'm not going to do that. I want my eyes because I think you could blink every once in a while and look.
Yeah, but if you can't blink once in a while, would you rather have your eyes or your life? You know, are you willing to die to keep sight? But in this kind of post-apocalyptic world, it seems like, especially in where Sandra Bullock is as compared to the haven where she's going to end up, but where she is, being blind is almost the same as death, because if she can't see, then the maniacs are going to come after her, maybe grab her, rape her, kill her.
Yeah, what are the maniacs doing to blind people to make them see? Like, that must really frustrate them.
I don't think that the blind people are under threat, at least not in this story. I'll talk about the sequel book at the end of this podcast, but they have the original author, Josh Malerman, has written a follow-up, and it more or less picks up where this movie ends. But if you're blind, this is my point. If you're blind in this world, you actually have a layer of protection now. And I think the reason why you wouldn't blind yourself is the hope that the world could go back to the way that it is. Because she's unwilling to blind her kids or poke out her own eyes is really a testament to the fact that she believes someday this problem will end. There is still some hope in her, even though she's a very jaded character. And certainly when we cut back to the river, you know, this movie jumps back and forth in the timeline. Every time we see Mallory struggling on the river, you really see someone that has become much more hardened than she was here while still pregnant.
Yeah, she was kind of just a cynical jerk before, but she's very hardened once she gets to that river.
Why do they cut back and forth? I don't feel like the intercutting helped this movie at all.
I think it's to build up, because they play the scene twice. The build up to that scene where will boy or girl have to keep their eyes open, and they'll show that scene and then they'll cut back and we'll see which one is finally hers. Is it boy or girl? And then that's going to create this whole thing of guilt and this whole dilemma of does she pick her own child or this other child?
It builds mystery. I think they do play off of each other in subtle ways. Maybe they're not great ways, Arnie, but like that was a hook. Oh, this is a world where people wear blindfolds and get into the rapids. I want to know more about this.
Yeah, I'll say whenever they cut to 5 years later at the rapids, that was the best stuff. I'm like, I wish this was just the movie. Like, I was getting into that stuff. And then, oh, we're going to go replay Night of the Living Dead. But let's get back to that river stuff. Like, what was that Meryl Streep movie?
A River Wild.
Yes, A River Wild. Like, that was zombies. Like, I'd be down for that.
See, I always find it a crutch when a movie has to jump to the middle of the movie, but show it at the beginning to hook an audience.
I mean, maybe, but I think it goes throughout this. For example, the first idea that there are people that don't wear blindfolds and are crazy are introduced in the future tense. You know, she's in there with the kids. They hear that voice of that guy saying, come here, come here. It basically is a scene that has her going to town with a machete on a guy. And you're like, holy shit, why would she do that? And then when we go back in time and we see Fish Fingers, or later when we're going to meet Gary, you see that these people have caused her to be this traumatized person. You see exactly why she's become a machete first, questions later kind of girl.
What is the rating of this movie? Do they MPAA for Netflix movies? Because when she goes at that guy with a machete, not a drop of blood is spilled. Not a hint of red in the water, on the person. I'm like, is this rated G?
There is some blood. You exaggerate, but there's no spurt.
No. I paused it. There is no blood.
According to IMDb, it does have an R rating. I don't know where they get that from, but there is an R next to it.
I mean, it feels like an R-rated movie. I mean, certainly there...
There might have been some language or something. That stuff usually doesn't pop out at me.
Yeah, me either. But the fact that she machetes a guy and there's no blood really felt like this movie was neutered. Maybe it's literally a money thing.
I don't know. I thought it was a shocking moment when she started chopping him up. I wasn't focusing on the gore.
Yeah, this movie's not neutered. It, like, Sarah Paulson walked in front of traffic and splattered. And, like, there are people dropping dead all over the place. You really feel like this is a tame experience?
I do. I really do. None of this is impacting me. And I think it's because it's all happening in pantomime.
Because you can't see a creature.
Yes, because there's no creatures being seen, because there's no blood being seen.
There is some blood. Maybe in that machete moment, there's not enough blood or any blood. I don't really remember. There's implied blood. I definitely feel like I saw it.
Yeah, my memory is that it's a very violent scene.
The movie lives in implications.
Right. And I'm hearing that you don't like that approach.
No, not at all. I also don't really like this cast. It's really, you know, Sandra Bullock is the only one in this entire cast who I'm sort of vibing with because I know her from so much else. But by the same token, she is such a off-putting person in this because her arc is that she can't get close to people. So the one who I know best is intentionally distant from everyone else, but then you get all these other people in the house, none of whom really have much time to be developed. I do not know why we have the two 20-somethings there just to hook up and steal the car. What do they add to this movie?
Youth appeal. Machine Gun Kelly is a pop star. Like,
who? Yeah, I know the name. I don't know any of his music, but I guess that's someone.
Yeah, he is basically here to steal the car. If they thought that all this supermarket thing worked, and maybe we can figure out a way to get rid of fish fingers when we go back, they will not have the opportunity to use that car again because he runs away with Alita Battle Angel, who is Lucy.
Oh, that's who that is.
Is that who that is?
I know all these actors. Like, usually I feel like you're the one that's like, oh, that guy and that guy. Everyone in here is someone I know from something.
I know most of the people in here from something, but they're not working in this movie. John Malkovich, I usually love. He's not working in this movie.
I mean, they're all giving their B-movie horror, like they feel like they're struggling to understand what's going on. Just as I imagine the director feels in over her head, working with this kind of pulp material. They all feel like we're not sure how serious to play that. You know, Little Rel Howery is going to play it like Get Out.
I mean, that's what Little Rel does. I saw Free Guy, like, that is his shtick.
Yes.
But then Tom, the Tavante Rhodes character from Moonlight, yeah, he really has to carry the heavy lift of falling in love with Mallory. And so he's not campy in any way. And so you're seeing a lot of different styles of acting. And I agree, it's a real mishmash. But just can't you appreciate it as a midnight movie? Like, I feel like you've given lots of movies with bad acting a pass because they're interesting and they're kind of crazy.
Yeah, this one's not interesting to me.
Why is it not interesting? Let's dig into that.
Because again, the monsters are secondary, the monsters are invisible, the monsters are ill-defined. Are they aliens? Are they demons? Are they something from the deep?
Why aren't you interested to find out?
I was the first time, and I was blue-balled.
Okay, so that you're getting to the, I'm mad at the end of this movie more than in the middle when this is happening.
No, when the movie's over and I realize that it's never going to give me anything regarding those monsters, I'm mad. It's not specifically the end of the movie, it's that the movie ends.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're mad because at the end of the day, you felt like you didn't get the candy in the trick-or-treat bag. But in these moments, in these scenes, you are entertained.
No, I'm not, is the thing. I'm not liking these people one goddamn bit. So that's why I need the monsters. I could go with no monsters if I like the people. But if I have no monsters and I don't like the people, what I'm left with is plot. And I'm struggling for that one here because this movie feels very choppy.
I'll give it this because I got a lot of the same problems as you, Arnie. I want more lore. I want more rules. I want to understand this world. That said, in the moments, I'm like, not a bad zombie film. Like, I've seen this zombie film a few times before, but they're doing a pretty good zombie film without any actual zombies. But they understand the scenarios. I'm getting caught up in these, again, B-movie pulpy moments. Like, I'm having fun, but I still have problems with it. But in the moment, I get into it, not fully, but I'm enjoying myself at least.
I'm enjoying myself making fun of this movie because this is M. Night level bad to me.
I don't get that. Why don't you feel like the scene of them driving over bodies to the supermarket is not a cool scene?
That was okay, but when you don't care for the people in the car and they're so acting like they are in different movies than each other, then what I'm left with is a mess. And so, yes, in the best moments of this movie, I'm laughing at it.
But in a Friday the 13th movie, I hear you loving.
Yeah, none of those people matter.
You love when all of this chaos happens and all these bad acting happens. It's part of the fun. Why can't you appreciate this for the bad horror movie that it is?
Because those movies have Jason. I like Jason. I don't like the monster here because there is no monster here.
Okay.
If there was a monster here, if you had thrown an alien in here, if this is AVP3 and this was happening with aliens and predators, then there might be something more to go on.
You want this to be AVP3?
I would like AVP3 more than this.
Ooh.
So can you just accept the idea of what I said? There's a tear in reality and monsters from another dimension are flying around. That's the premise. Why is that not enough?
I mean, that's not in this movie.
It probably isn't, but yeah.
It's not, but...
Yeah, I mean, okay, you go make a movie like this, I would like it better. Because you'd give some lore, like Jacob said. But you're giving me a monster movie with no monster, and then you're asking, why can't you appreciate the bad acting? Okay.
The crazy vibe, the midnight movie quality of it. The fact that Sandra Bullock doesn't normally do shit like this, and it's just kind of fun to watch her lurch her way between ridiculous melodramas and then, like, oh, a pretty good scene. Like, it's, the movie is highly uneven. Like, it's all over the place.
It is. And you're liking that?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. And then you have liked that many times when you're having dumb fun. For some reason, you seem fun resistant.
I'm never fun resistant. That is the antithesis of my life. Here, there's just no fun to be had. And Sandra Bullock is not fun. She looks this whole movie like there's something shoved up her ass.
That's her character, though. Like, she is doing what she's been asked to do.
Yeah, I feel like you want Sandra Bullock to be who she was in While You Were Sleeping.
No, I love Gravity. I mean, seriously, Sandra Bullock can go a lot of different places. But here, she is... Jacob, I think you're right. This is how her character's written. She's playing to the character. She's doing what she should do as an actress and sticking to the script. It's a damn shame they didn't give her a character with a bit of interest where I could actually care about and understand her detachment from the humans and see her closeness build throughout the arc of the film.
Oh, you can see it. You don't, you're not, you've got the blindfold on. You won't look at it. But it's clear to anybody that the reason why she's not wanting to attach is because she believes the world is over. And she has many scenes where she talks to Tom about how it's the end of the world and there's no point in trying to, like, live life and raise kids and I'm not going to give them names.
Yeah, don't say fairy tales to your children because it's all going to end in disaster anyway.
But she was having trouble with attachment even before the apocalypse.
Right. So you got it. So, like, you got the character. You're just saying, I don't want to see Sandra Bullock play that character.
I don't want to see this character. I don't care who's playing it. The arc is way too quick because she spends 5 years calling these children girl and boy, thus telling us for 5 years of this movie she has stayed equally detached, and then a few moments on the rapids and now she's better?
No, she wasn't equally detached. We know exactly what was sustaining her during that time, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. She was in love. There was someone she was very attached to, but she was never wanting these kids. It should be pointed out, when she found out she was pregnant, she knew the father wasn't going to be involved. She wasn't particularly happy about it. It might be interesting to think that she didn't have an abortion, but there's something there. There's some part of her that she's still wrestling with the idea that she wants this, that she does want the family, she does want to care. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too deep with it. I feel like if you want to take the concept seriously, the novel is the way to go. The novel will give the time and spend the lyricism on the prose so that you're not laughing at situations and kind of like heckling a B-movie. And you'll really consider it a parable about motherhood and the struggles to care in a world where it seems like everything can kill your kids.
That's what I feel this movie should be, and it never gets there. Apparently, I would like the book better.
Yeah, she works to me on a B-movie level where here is this character's trait that she is going to have to overcome, and is there any explanation why she's... Nope, she just is that way. My biggest problem is when she does start hanging around Tom, like their relationship, like... That just seems to go pretty easy. Like, they have some discussions. I guess they're supposed to be different ages because she's like, I could have been your babysitter. But they do hook up for reasons, I guess, because he's almost literally the last guy on Earth.
Literally, yeah. It's him or Malkovich. I mean, I think you definitely go with him.
I'd go with Malkovich. I've seen him in more movies.
No. I don't know. Do you want this movie to be played straight? You want a serious version of that story? Like, I feel like you're normally the one to be like, let's make it Resident Evil. Like, you don't ask these things of Resident Evil movies.
Yeah, I thought this was a serious movie and was shocked to find out what it actually is.
Right.
Are you telling me this isn't being played straight? Because I think it is.
No.
I mean, I see a movie that is just careening from tone to tone. I think it struggles from scene to scene to define itself. And it's what kind of makes it fascinating. I'm not saying this is great art. And yes, it would be great if I was watching great art. But given that I'm not, it's kind of fascinating to see A-list talent in a B-list plot trying to make it A-list. And sometimes succeeding and then sometimes failing. That's interesting. It's an interesting movie. There's nothing about this movie that's dull to me. Everything about it, every scene is fascinating. Not all of it works.
To me, none of it works, and because it's not, then I therefore don't find it fascinating.
What about the idea is once we finally learn that she's not having twins, that girl is going to be the child of Olympia, and we have this is where the flash forward matters. Like, we saw Mallory return from this grocery store. She has a bird cage. This is where we're getting the title of the piece. You know, birds can sense when the creatures come. And she has a Hello Kitty doll that she's giving to the other pregnant lady in the house and saying, you know, like, you can give it to your baby. You'll be the one to take care of it. When we cut to the boat, girl is holding that Hello Kitty. And Mallory is saying things like, when we get to the rapids, I'm going to have one of you, wink, wink, be the one to look out. I mean, that's pretty harsh, right? That she's willing to sacrifice another woman's kid to protect herself and her own.
Well, yeah, and even the first time they show that, though, I'm not sure which is which, because she made it a point she didn't even want to know the gender of her baby. So, yeah, she got that Hello Kitty thing. Did Olympia know she was having a girl? I thought that was all found out once they give birth.
Oh, I thought the fact that the child was holding the Hello Kitty told you it was Olympia's child. At least that would be my reading. But yeah, maybe you aren't clear in this moment. But to me, I thought it played very much of like, this is not a Sophie's Choice for me. I know which child I'm going to give up.
That is the crazy thing. I'm like, did they sneak a Sophie's Choice movie into this? I was not expecting that.
Mallory is so hardened, she doesn't seem that conflicted by it. She seems pretty settled on, I don't want to tell you yet, girl, but the reason why we're not getting close and the reason why you're scared of me is because I'm going to kill you.
I did not catch the Hello Kitty indicating who was whose child. I didn't get it until the very end.
Oh, I think it gives great tension to, like, their, you know, cat and mouse stuff. Later, when they lose all their supplies and get dumped, she has to go aboard, and she ends up yelling at girl for getting out of the boat. And, I mean, I think there's enough character work here not to win awards, not to call this a great movie. But it's more interesting than a Resident Evil sequel. It's more interesting than your average zombie knockoff. Like, I feel like you're not giving this movie credit for being better than a lot of the junk we watch.
Oh, by far. So much better than that theoretical AVP3.
Do you really think AVP is better than this?
I'm saying it has better monsters, yes.
Okay. All right. This is the crux. You're helping me understand. The crux of this is they fucked up royally with you by not showing you a scary creature.
Yeah, like, it was an annoyance for me, but it sounds like it's killing it for you, Arnie.
If they had better characters, I wouldn't care about the monsters.
What do you mean by better characters?
I'm not liking these actors in these roles. I'm not finding them unique, interesting, or novel. I'm finding this to be a rote Night of the Living Dead ripoff with characters that are falling, and I don't even care. I don't understand. There's too many people in this house for me to connect to them, and then they're being killed off very quickly.
Yeah, it's a good thing Gary comes along. I mean, you don't like any of this? Like, his whole story about...
Gary, I like. I like Gary. I'll give you Gary.
Yeah, Gary is, and he's going to clean house here. He definitely has ideas. And I think the audience knows and John Malkovich knows. Like, John, he gets, like, ganged up on, but he has the right instincts here. Don't let this guy in.
Those Trumpers are onto something. Malkovich is right twice. Stay at the grocery store and don't let Gary in.
Yeah, it's because no one has liked John Malkovich through all of this that they can just throw him in the garage and say, "Aw, shut up." If he doesn't have the scary eyes, then he's okay, right? Like, we think we know what a crazy looks like, and he's holding a conversation, seemingly normal. Yeah, he's dancing a little bit too much to the Dionne Warwick song, but for the most part, he is imitating a sane person very well, and takes advantage of the moment that the two women go into labor to bring the house down.
Yeah, there are moments like when he goes into his trance and just starts drawing, like, with both hands very quickly, like what the monsters maybe or whatever visions are in it, like that stuff. I'm like, wow, I can't believe they put that cliche in here.
Well, you wanted to see it, right? Like, would you have preferred not to see it?
I don't believe that's it, though, because this is a crazy guy.
No, that's it.
I like his drawings. I thought his drawings were representations of what he sees the monsters to be. Now, remember, the woman who tried to save Mallory saw her own parents. So I think these monsters look different to everybody, but this is what I thought he was seeing.
Agreed. And it's what H.P. Lovecraft describes when he talks about the old ones and the old gods. Cthulhu.
Yeah, but I do like the moment, like, you see him and he takes that birdcage, puts it in the fridge. I thought he was going to put him in the oven or something at first, but no. Puts him in the fridge and, starts taking everyone out.
You know what? You can call this movie, and it is. That's what's so unique about this movie is, like, there are moments you're like, oh, that's so stupid. But, like, the moment that he's going around and, like, goes to watch the women and holds their eyes to make them look out the window and... See, this is pretty, too. That's scary to me. Like, there's something about, like, the way that those women are forced to, and, like, their irises, like, kind of, like, bleed over and all that. Like, Like, that is genuinely terrifying to me, that moment.
It's not terrifying, but A, I'm glad that we're thinning the herd, and B, I do like the human threat much more than I like the supernatural threat.
Yeah, I mean, does it not, like, make you queasy to think, like, this newborn mother is now going to, like, maybe kill her baby and definitely kill herself?
I'm going to say this is an effective, scary scene. Even though I know boy and girl, they're obviously going to live because we've seen them 5 years in the future. Seeing them as babies here crying, as Mallory's holding them under a blanket, it's a tense scene.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, suddenly this silly movie is... pulled it together for a second and feels really scary. And yeah, it's a dance that I marvel about this movie, how it can go from bad to good, scene to scene, almost effortlessly. It can jump from ridiculous to terrifying.
To me, this is the high point of the whole movie, with the exception of the rapids. I think this and the rapids are the two best scenes, but I don't feel it's careening from good to bad. I feel like there's two good points.
All right. Whether you like this movie or not, that there are definitely strong elements going on in this and that it pops. There are definitely stupid elements or elements that anyone's going to struggle with. Like, wait, what? And that's what makes it, to me, it makes it an interesting film. Like, whenever you can, if you can't make a great film, make a film like this that has people just curious about it.
Now you know why I love those Venom films.
I maybe closer down that road. Yes, maybe. So, yes, this is where we wipe out Malkovich. He kind of becomes a hero for a moment. We've hated him for so much of the runtime, but he does try to fire that shotgun while closing his eyes. And what's interesting is about these demented people is they just don't seem to process pain. They can be shot by a shotgun, and if it doesn't literally end their life...
Yeah, are they immortal?
They're not immortal. They won't have a pain reaction. There's a disconnection with their body. And so he can just say, ow, you know, ironically, after getting a shotgun blast. And it will be Tom that finishes him off.
Yeah, who we thought was down. I mean, he took Tom out earlier, and I was surprised. I didn't remember a whole lot about this film from the first viewing. When Tom went out, I'm like, oh, I thought he and Mallory were going to be an item. And then it turned out he wasn't as dead as we thought.
Right. We do jump at this point 5 years later. We know he's not in the boat with Mallory and the children. So he will have to be taken from her. But under what circumstance? What will it look like? Here, I believe the reason why Mallory hasn't gone totally insane and killed her kids and blinded herself and all of that is because she has allowed herself to fall in love. She is finally not a single mother anymore. Tom is, I don't know where he gets the protein in this. Like, he's still working out, like, he's fit and he's really trying with the kids and all of that. They seem to be making it work, if only for those pesky, crazy people that are driving around in Priuses.
Yeah, I do love, like, they raid a house and they find some old Pop-Tarts, and, like, that's a huge... They're like, this is what strawberry tastes... No, it's not, but I'd love a Pop-Tart.
Yeah. In fact, I think you could probably find a strawberry growing in the wild, but yes.
Yeah.
A Pop-Tart in the wild is questionable.
But I think, like, Twinkies, they'll never go bad.
Yeah, maybe. And yes, here's where we get the idea. We can finally start to connect the dots of why they're on the river. What has driven them to do this? The radio has talked about... this sanctuary. You just got to go to the river's end. And is this a crazy person luring them into a trap?
I was wondering that.
Yeah, you've got definitely got to think that whatever Mallory is doing to try and survive on these rapids, it could end with all of them being turned crazy when they take off their blindfolds.
Yeah, I'll give this film, unlike especially Quiet Place 2, which was supposed to show the human danger. This one, I'm always thinking the humans are dangerous. Like, no, don't go to Rick in his supposed safe place. Like, that's going to be bad because this just feels like a darker film than those Quiet Place ones do.
Yeah, agreed.
It does. And when they're on the river there, I am shocked that everybody survives. It's a little bit convenient that everybody survives. There's only three people, though. It's hard for the movie to kill and still have anybody left around, but
Tom doesn't survive. We do see right before we get back full circle to the moment where she put him in the boat, Tom was going to go with them, but the crazed gang caught up with them. There is a pack of crazies, including, what was his name? Paisley guy? Polka Dot Man?
Yes, Polka Dot Man from Suicide Squad.
Yeah, the Suicide Squad hero, yes. He's part of this bad gang of people that don't wear blindfolds anymore because, hey, we're already crazy. We don't care if there are aliens flying above our heads.
He's been typecast as the crazy guy. Dark Knight, he was a crazy guy too, working for the Joker.
Mm-hmm. Girl in the Spider's Web, he had that whole face that popped out. Yeah, he's really interesting filmography. This kind of hurt, right? Like, it was sad to see Tom taken from her. You knew it was going to happen. There was no way it wasn't going to, but I felt bad.
Well, I was wondering, I'm like, maybe they separated for some reason and she's making that trip down the river. I wasn't quite sure I was thinking about those flashbacks.
Or maybe going to him even. Yeah, I guess you could write it in your head that they would be together, but I don't know. She's so hardened and grizzled that you have to think he's been taken out. And then this world is so fraught with danger. Like, how could you survive this long, frankly?
Yeah, and it's only, what, a two-day journey down the river? It's not like she's got to last a month doing this. It's just a couple of days.
Right. But who would want to do this? I bet you nobody that did the Bird Box challenge dared to row a boat anywhere.
I've gone whitewater rafting. It's hard enough being able to see.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I had a lot of suspense with this just because of the situation where how could anyone survive it? It is unbelievable that all three would survive to the end when there is no lookout. I realize that is Sophie's choice, but she is right. If she looks out, they're all going to die because she's the one who has to steer the boat, but she's not willing to sacrifice either of the children, so...
Well, she was, but she just, at the very end, decided she couldn't. Again, she's fighting with her own compassion. She wants to be the hardened person, but it's like there's a bond there. Like, she can't help 4 years raising this girl. She just can't throw her to the whatevers. And so they do make it to some kind of shore and then have to walk the rest of the way. This is where I admit real problems with not being able to see. Up to this point, I really don't have huge problems with the fact that we haven't seen the whatevers. But when it's all this sound mix of whispering and leaves blowing, that's no climax. We need to believe that there's something physically there that could hurt her.
Yeah, my problem is they are doing full sprints, blindfolded. Like, you're hitting trees, you're tripping over roots, you're breaking your ankle. Like, you got to move way slower. But I guess they're trying to make it intense. I thought the moment, like, where she's calling out to girl and convincing her to keep her blindfold on, it was a nice little moment, like, a little bit tense, this child in danger. But when they're physically running from the wind, yeah, it is the happening.
That's exactly it. When you have a scene where you're running from the wind, you failed. And that is unfortunate. We're at the end of the movie, a pretty exciting movie, I would add. And now we got this limp-ass thing as a climax. That's too bad. But you're right. There is something to the emotionalism of saying, girl, I love you, and don't take off your blindfold. Don't be convinced that the voices you're hearing are me.
There is an intensity to Bullock's performance that I was not expecting. That kind of wins me over.
Agreed.
I wish that I was buying it more. I don't know that I'm completely in sync with the performance she's giving, especially since she seems mad at herself for not sacrificing girl.
She's mad for lots of reasons, but they do get to the Janet Tucker School for the Blind, and the big reveal is that Rick is a kind man.
It's a good thing it's a home for the blind, so they don't see my eyes roll at that reveal.
Really? You're not down for that? I mean, it makes sense.
It's kind of dumb.
Actually, I go with it. I think that, you know, it reminded me of the statement in The Land of the Blind, the one-eyed man is king. Well, in the land where the sighted are doomed, the blind man is king.
Right. You know, and this is where we're going to make metaphor of the title, Bird Box, that we understand that they are these little frail creatures that have traveled all this way, now can be set free.
And are there open courtyards there? Because they say something like the birds warn the people that could see, so they'll go inside. So, and it looks like there's open courtyards so they could see the sky or whatnot, but those birds will warn them?
The sky is completely covered by greenery, and whether there's glass above the greenery, I'm not sure.
Okay, because they make a big deal about, yeah, the birds warning the seeing people.
Yes, I don't think that the creatures could be seen from inside the blind academy.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that there was enough greenery. It was letting sunlight through, but it was blocking vision.
Right. Because imagine that. I mean, again, these are kids that would have to grow up in a world where they could never look at the sky. Like, that's a pretty... You could see why Mallory would become so jaded. Why she would see so fatalistically, like, no reason to live or to give them dreams. Like, that's a pretty low bar. Like, letting a kid look at the clouds, can't do that. Well, they may not be able to look at clouds, but they get sun, they get birds, and they get friends. And that's probably enough for them. She also gets her obstetrician back, which that did make me roll my eyes.
That was weird. Yeah, she happens to be there.
Yeah, I'm not sure how she got there, but okay, whatever.
It was only 4 miles away.
You mean like the hospital was around the corner? They did all that on the river just to like go back?
Well, no, they said it was only 4 miles down the river and she hadn't gotten far from the hospital when they got into B.D. Wong's house, so...
But that's a different place than where they were in the cabin. I think what's confusing, particularly having read the book, is that she traveled so many miles to get to that cabin. So, like, over 20. So, whatever. Don't ask these kinds of questions. This is Bird Box.
Let me ask a different question. Jacob, Stuart, do you recommend Bird Box? Jacob.
I said at the beginning, never wanted to watch this film because of Sandra Bullock. And she's kind of the thing I like the most about it. Like, she surprised me with her performance. It is not Oscar worthy, but yeah, put her in an action film. I think she could do it. Like, she can bring an intensity and...
She's great in Speed.
Yeah, I haven't seen that since it came out. It's been a long time. And, you know, I liked her in Gravity, but that was a different kind of film. Like, here, she could have a coldness and a steeliness to her that I ended up enjoying that performance for what it is in this film, which is not... I'm trying to think about zombie films that I like. I don't think there's any, like, A zombie films. They're all B movies. Like, that's just the nature of the genre.
28 Days Later?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's getting up there. I'll give it that one. But, you know, the Romero stuff, even Land of the Dead, which I enjoy, that's maybe a D-listed film, not even a B. But this kind of works as, yeah, a zombie film without zombies. And you've heard Arnie's anger. If you feel that, if you feel that's a total ripoff, that you're never going to see what's scaring these people the most, which it does really bug me. It does. You got to show something. But if you feel like that is disastrous, then do not watch this. But I found that I really got into a lot of the tense moments here. Again, you don't see the creatures. Sometimes the creatures are human, which is a fine replacement. But this movie's got its moments. And maybe I'm feeling more generous. We are recording this in October. I always like watching a horror film in October. And I was surprised. I didn't know this was going to be such a horror film. I thought this was going to be more of a adventure thriller type thing. But no, I would call this horror. You know, maybe not enough blood, as Arnie has voiced with the machete chopping up. But I thought that was a great scene, too. Like, this film really does have its moments. It is by far not a perfect film. Like, I got problems with the lore because they don't explain a lot of things. But despite all those issues, I still had a fun time watching this. Like, yeah, get the popcorn. This is a popcorn film. And turn on Netflix and watch this. Mild recommend for Bird Box.
Stuart.
Yeah, you saw the movie I did. And yeah, they fixed the happening is what it is. You know, God knows M. Night tried to weave mass suicide with sentimental family drama. And it remains, I think, his worst film, which is no small feat, but like, that is his stupidest movie. Bird Box has a lot to lose by going down the similar path. And not all of it is successful, as you pointed out. corny performances, some really like bizarre, stupid moments and real stumbles. Just obviously parts of this movie that don't work. But it is fused with stuff that really does scare me. There are moments that I'm genuinely frightened watching this film. And that goes a long way. I'm not easy to frighten at this day and age. I've seen a lot of horror movies. So the fact that you can take, yeah, someone that is usually squeaky clean, like Sandra Bullock, and pair her with those kid actors, they really sell the boat ride. They really, like, help stabilize a project that lurches from cool to bad scene by scene. And so, yeah, even though she's way too old for the part and there's so many things you could nitpick, overall, I think that Bullock is the reason that this holds together and is better than your boilerplate horror movie. Without overselling the human drama, it has a little bit more going on than your average Return of the Living Dead movie. And so, yeah, I guess it all does come down to, but those monsters, the whatevers. Like, what does that mean for you? I don't think this movie's good enough that you can buy it as metaphor. I don't think you can look at this and go, isn't it beautiful what a mother is willing to sacrifice to protect her kids? Like, I doubt that that's going to wring tears from anyone's eyes. It is H.P. Lovecraft's Cloverfield. It is a microcosm of a world disaster told from people that don't really understand what's going on and can't look at the danger. Frustrating, perhaps. But I don't know. I felt like maybe it's not as good as A Quiet Place, but better than Quiet Place 2. And yeah, a worthy companion. A good double feature, Quiet Place in this movie. I think they are two interesting sides of the same coin. Recommend.
And I've been portrayed by my co-host here as angry. I don't feel like I've been angry.
You've sounded angry.
Yeah, I don't think I portrayed you that way. I heard you say lots of angered things about this movie.
Or as hating this movie, and I can't say I hate this movie. It is better than The Happening. I'll give it that compliment.
Jeez, wow, is that a compliment?
But as good as AVP. Can it reach that high bar?
It is better than either AVP film.
Okay, I'm glad you could admit that.
It just doesn't have as good of a monster as either AVP film. Give me a Pred alien over a whatever any day.
Does it have a fix for you? Is there something they could have done to fix this movie you just watched?
I mean, I didn't hate it. I felt like it had some good moments with Gary, with the Rapids. And on paper, the mother who's not connecting to her biological and surrogate child is an interesting point of drama. I wish that it played better. I wish that Bullock felt more natural in this role and that I believed she could honestly be detached from children. And I do think it's the history of what she's done. It's not that I want her to be the character she was when she was in While You Were Sleeping. It's that her on-screen persona has always been one of emotional openness to a fault. And so when she's trying to play closed off, it's against type. And I just don't see her reaching the depths where I believe her performance. So part of the fix would be recast. Recast Malkovich, recast Bullock, recast the names you have in this movie. Get different people in there.
You don't want Machine Gun Kelly in this?
Again, they're just there to steal a car. I feel like you could whittle down the cast in the house by half and get the same effect, if not better effect, because I'd actually care about the person who disappeared with the car and know why they disappeared with the car.
You are describing the book. I wanted to say, you definitely are like, the book didn't have half the characters, a lot of these complaints. And again, with the pros, you could say that you could see the monster, but like, you know, like the fact that, you know, it isn't described for you is, it's just, it's more accepting on the page. It's a literary monster.
It much. I mean, Stephen King does this all the time. Lovecraft does this. I've read both and have no problem with that. Barker does it a ton and no problem with it. But you can't pull that off as well on screen because movies are a visual medium.
Agreed.
So there's a number of fixes. Yes, you're not going to show me a creature that's instantly going to make me go insane and want to stab myself in my temple with scissors. There are fixes, but this movie isn't abhorrent, but I think its worst sin is we're putting this in the Platinum series with A Quiet Place and A Quiet Place 2, which are two, in my mind, really good movies that elevate the genre they're in.
Quiet Place 2 was not a really good movie.
I thought it was.
You didn't give that review.
I said it was not as good as the first, but it was good.
It wasn't great.
It was far superior to this, though. And by putting this next to A Quiet Place and saying, these are the same thing, we're putting them in the same tier, I think caused me to have a whiplash reaction of, these aren't the same thing at all. And it's a not recommend. It's not a super strong, burning red, oh my God, Uwe Boll made this not recommend.
Well, you did say it was as stupid as Happening many times.
It is, but it's not as bad as Happening because it doesn't have Marky Mark in there as a scientist.
As a scientist!
But it is as stupid as The Happening. If you actually find enjoyment in The Happening, have fun with Bird Box. But to me, I understand what you two have said and why you find enjoyment in it. I do not, and I will stand by this not recommend till the day I die.
Okay. To me, Happening is a brown arrow. Bird Box is a green arrow. Again, I'm not saying it's a great film, but I think it definitely plays as a double feature to Quiet Place. I don't feel like anything done in Quiet Place is so much better than this. It just happens to have a more steady tone. It doesn't do the absurdity that this movie dares to do. What about a sequel? There has been a book, a second one.
I'm surprised we haven't got one if this was the most popular thing at the time.
Well, here's what's interesting. What Josh Malerman wrote and published last summer, 2020.
Oh, so there wasn't a sequel written ready to go?
No. I don't think he had the expectation that this was going to be what it was. He has written many other books, and he didn't ask the question, what happened to Mallory, until this movie debuted. And then there were a lot of people with checks that said, what happened to Mallory? But he wrote, what he wrote, I think, is of the same piece as his first book, which is to say that I'm not sure it will work as a movie, and it will not be the sequel. What Netflix has greenlit, what they're working on, my understanding, it doesn't have Bullock and it doesn't have Malerman's sequel novel in it at all. We are going to get a second one involving a new character, so maybe some of these problems will be solved for you, Arnie. I don't know. But the book that I read, Mallory, basically it picks up 10 years later. It looks at her trying to raise teenagers that no longer want to listen to her, that think she's a real nag. They've had to leave the blind school because creatures got in and people went crazy. And now Mallory makes them wear gloves because she thinks the creatures can not only make you crazy when you look at them, but when you touch them. And she becomes convinced that her parents are still alive and they can take a train operated by blind people to get back home. And so there is a kind of like the river adventure. There is this thrust for her to get back home. But at the same time, you think Olympia and Tom are going to run away, take off their blindfolds. Things happen I will not spoil, but you will find out things about the whatevers that are not here in Bird Box.
So instead of ripping off the zombie film Night of the Living Dead, the sequel rips off the zombie film Train to Busan.
Maybe a little, although much of it takes place in a town where people have taken off their blindfolds. It really is the story of Mallory learning not to live in fear anymore. They kind of give it a happy ending. I guess that's what I'll call it. They give that character a sense of peace. She is rewarded for protecting her children, and she is relieved of duty of having to be so harsh and scolding. So I think, again, it felt like a character that was trying to make peace with his own mother issues and wasn't filled with a lot of action scenes or horror scenes. They're going to have to add all of that stuff in again, because I don't think that on the page it plays the way that it does in this movie. But I'll be excited for it. And hey, I have a subscription to Netflix. It's easy enough to click stream.
Who doesn't? I think they assign you one at birth.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy to watch these things. And I don't regret it. I'm don't know if I'm looking forward to it, but I think that they could do a lot to explain things in this universe to make it more satisfying.
That I'm looking forward to. I'm going to say I'm a little bummed that Sandra Bullock's not in it, because she was the surprise of this for me.
I mean, I haven't heard that she's in it. They're keeping everything in tight wraps. It's one of these, like, nobody can know anything. Nothing is leaked out. But my understanding is that they're going with a different everything. And probably will be out next year.
Well, I guess we will cover it then. And I will cross my fingers and hope that it's better.
Well, it sounds like it's going to have some of the things you've requested anyway. Different recasts, different... I can't imagine that they'll make the movie without explaining more of the whatevers. They'll have to, right?
They have to, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't make it unless you got some answers for us. It would be my attitude. But that's it. Platinum level is over. We still have to get to our gold level. We've had to delay. Paranormal Activity 7 has already come and gone, but we are just getting started with the original 2006 found footage favorite.
Yes, Paranormal Activity. I am a complete newbie to that and looking forward to finally experiencing a cultural phenomenon I missed out on.
I think we all did.
No, I saw the first one and I remember feeling like it had been oversold. But my understanding from people that really got into the series is it's not just about what they reveal in the first one. It's the slow build of a mythology over the whole saga. So I haven't experienced that. I have only seen part one. So taking the journey, I'll maybe be able to get more of a understanding about what's going on than what looked like a bunch of flickering lights and growls in the dark for that first film. To be determined.
So thank you for your platinum level donation. You still got a lot of fun coming with the gold level that you're getting as platinum donors, and hopefully you can join us. Jacob Stewart, thank you for joining us. Until next time, it's time for us to fly.
We're never getting out of here. No one's coming for us.
We need to go.
Once again, thank you for supporting Now Playing, and we hope you've enjoyed this bonus movie review.
Asshole.
I was listening to that.
Yeah, so were the people down the street.
It's your support that keeps Now Playing operating.
Life is more than just what is, it's what could be, what you could make it. You need to promise some dreams that may never come true.
The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the views of Venganza Media Incorporated.
That's something you can't unsee.
No. No, you cannot.
Venganza Media Incorporated is not affiliated with, and this podcast has not been prepared, approved, or licensed by any entity that created the film analyzed herein.
Every contact we have had with the outside has brought us death.
All movie clips and music included in this podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purpose of review and no infringement is intended. Now Playing Podcast is an exclusive trademark of and may not be used without the express written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated. Now Playing is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2021, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.
Would you like to come and play with the other kids?
Wanna go play?
You wanna go play?
A woman invites her into their house, but this act of kindness causes the woman to see the whatevers and kill herself.
Is that what we're calling them, the whatevers?
They don't have a name! I just wrote down creatures, because that's what they call them, the creatures.
Okay, we'll work on this.
Whatevers, creatures.
I do have whatevers in my notes.
Yes.
Okay, that works for me.
Played by Lil. The only great thing here is Sarah Paulson bites it.
The way that she dies?
No, he's just not a fan of Sarah Paulson. He's glad she's leaving the movie.
Why are you against Sarah Paulson? I've never seen her give a bad performance, ever.
Let me look it up. What was it? Where I really dislike
her. You really dislike her and you don't remember why?
Oh, I'm confusing her with somebody else is why. That's why.
Okay, yeah. I was like, what? Like American Horror Story?
You were thinking of Melissa McCarthy, weren't you?
No, I was thinking of that Molly's Game.
Jessica Chastain?
Yes.
Oh, yes, you do not like her. That's very true.
Okay, yeah. Not the same thing.